B-Pod Studios.
Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Coming up later this hour at 12:50, another pair of tickets to see The Who at TD Garden. We're here in our Town Fair Tire studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub, and Bert Breer of the MMQB is with us from Radio Row in L.A. on this Wednesday with Bert Breer. Let's go to your phones. Jake in Boston, what do you have for us today?
Gentlemen, well, first of all, I can't kill you for not asking Gerard the questions I would have asked him, because I know it's a PR thing. But I do have to ask, Mark, were the PR people you were criticizing the people who set up the interview types or the Stacey James types?
No. It's handlers, Jake. When you're at the Super Bowl, you'll see
publicist,
someone. I'll run into somebody.
I'm headed out there tomorrow to do it.
So, you are. I didn't know that.
Are you going after me or after the Stacey's of the world?
No, you. I'm going after you
because
and your people. Although, Jake, you strike me as someone who's a little less green than some of the dummies we dealt with 2 years ago in Miami that would schedule interviews,
right,
then say the interview was off, offer up like three new times that aren't even during the time of the show.
Or some other scrub.
Yeah, and it was a complete runaround to the point where it was like, no, you know what? This is like a borderline guest that not a lot of people wanted, but we thought that might be interesting and different. We should do it. And then you start jerking shows around. I got no use for you. See you later.
Here's the problem.
We bumped your interviews because your guest isn't that valuable.
You guys are on the bottom of the Radio Row pecking order, not because of who you are. It's because that you guys are – Boston is a provincial market. We care about our teams. We are passionate about our team. So Gerard Mayo is perfect for you. But random celebrity that we've got a bookend between national, you know, CBS radio or
– Disagree. I'm hanging up on you, Jake.
Bye.
Have you seen our list of guests over the years at Radio Row?
He crushed it.
Have you seen the diversity of guests?
Mean Joe Green. Vanilla Ice.
In terms of different markets and teams and opponents, guys from other teams? Yeah.
Louis Anderson?
I was going to say a provincial show does not get Louis Anderson.
Right, thank you.
Come on.
I didn't realize we're at the bottom of the bucket. Wow.
Barrel.
Wow, that guy was not happy with the first couple hours of the show.
Ridiculous accusation. We're the only show that loads up on guests we probably shouldn't have on the show.
Right.
We do that nonsense. We enjoy that.
We embrace the week. Yeah.
The amount of people around here that have jobs that just... almost shouldn't exist.
How is that a job?
Every Super Bowl, the amount of people that are just employed here for no reason is mind-blowing. Just the glut of people, you know?
He's right.
Are you talking about entourages or NFL people or both?
I was doing a show the other day where there was a famous actor on after me, okay? And there were like six
people taking him.
I walked by him in the hallway, and there were six people with him.
Who was the actor?
Like, I'm not going to disclose that.
Why?
That
just talking about the size of his entourage.
But it was six people.
Why are you afraid to mention that? Considering every one of those actors that goes to Radio Row,
because I don't want to screw the show I was on.
It has six to ten people.
Oh. But it was absurd.
Anybody? I'll figure it out.
It was absurd.
In a few,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, just tell us what movie or TV.
I wasn't allowed
to play this game with you guys.
I wasn't allowed to pee next to Jim Rome. So Jim Rome had three handlers keeping people back because you go in the bathroom with him and you got to clear it. What is up? You know, when he did that, and then we end up doing
they cleared the bathroom for him?
Yeah, he had private security he brought with him, and they didn't want anyone else.
So what do you think is going to happen in there?
Get his ass kicked in there, probably.
I don't know.
Like Jim Everett's going to be in there?
Maybe.
Call me Chris again.
Yeah.
But then you see
I've been waiting 30 years for this.
Some people just walking around by themselves. I think we saw Barry Sanders walking around by himself.
Yep.
Like
2 years ago.
How is the greatest running back of all time not have an entourage?
He had a plastic bag.
Meanwhile, like the backup tight end of the Dolphins has like five handlers around him.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's the gymnast, the famous gymnast, Hardy's
Mary Lou Retton?
We had Mary Lou Retton on the show. I mean, come on now.
Deion Sanders.
Like, yeah, no. Seriously, like, why?
Louis
like,
Anderson and Mary Lou Retton, right?
What are the... What,
Jenny like, so McCarthy. See,
yeah.
So what are the... What's the job of, like, the fifth and sixth person?
I don't know. There? You should ask Will Ferrell when you see him next time on Radio Row.
Yeah. I don't... Like, I don't...
Like Mahomes' is rookie year, he had one handler.
Bert's like you,
dude. Remember when?
I'm not going to comment on.
See
anything.
How long that took us, Bert? You can't get anything past us when it comes to Radio and Row.
Tebow had like 10 people.
Not dealing with your investigation.
His brother
here.
Robbie.
Yeah, Tebow.
Tebow and his brother Robbie with 10 people.
Let's go to a friendlier caller than Jake. I mean, yesterday Paulie was on the attack. Today it's Jake. Let's talk to West Coast Jeff. That would be Jeff from Nashua, now in San Fran. What do you got, Jeff?
Hey, what's happening? Bert, I feel for you gutting it out with this California winter heat wave. Tough sledding for sure. We'll be hitting the mid to high 70s today in San Francisco. And speaking of San Francisco, Zoe, great Jimmy G for the rights to Tom Brady take you had yesterday.
Thank you.
That went national on Yahoo. Wherever did you come up with that take? Very, very provocative, my friend.
A couple years, I think it potentially could have been in the works. You know, they had interest.
It was Jeff and Nashua. Let's be clear.
Jeff and Nashua wants his credit. He has come for his credit.
Okay.
And Bert, all things being equal, Jeff and Nashua has been saying for a year plus that Jimmy G was going to play the good soldier and just play for a contract and do the right thing for the team. And the 49ers have been actually saying, I know you guys think back there it's been a clown show and they haven't handled it right. I think it's completely opposite of that. I think they've handled it exactly how they want to handle it.
Except they've done it at the expense of Jimmy G.
Yeah.
That's what I think sucks about the situation.
It sucks.
And I don't think players deserve to get treated the way that he's sort of been treated there for the last year. And he, to me, comes out of it looking really good. A real professional.
Oh, I think he's handled it awesome.
He's handled it so well, and he has taken those hits from his own head coach and handled it extremely well. And his teammates care about him. I think he cares about his teammates, and I don't think they treated him well there the last year. I don't agree with it. I don't think that's the way to treat people.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jimmy comes out of this like, it's sort of like, you know, you see like what Josh McCown did for his career when he was like a good soldier in Chicago playing with Jay Cutler, and how that extended his career for probably another 8 years, I think it was. And he probably made an extra $30 million that maybe he wouldn't have otherwise made because at the time he had been coaching high school football in North Carolina and was semi-retired.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what Jimmy's sort of done for himself now. It's like by handling it as well as he's handled it, he's going to get jobs forever now because people are going to look at him and say, yeah, I want that guy around my young quarterback. Yeah, that guy's going to be a resource to the rest of the team. So, like, is he going to be a starter for the next 10 years? Probably not. But is he probably going to start a bunch of games and have jobs for the next 8, 9, 10 years? I think that's definitely in play because of the way he sort of handled himself over the last year.
Bert Breer is with us. Let's talk about the actual game on Sunday night itself. We'll get to the Super Bowl and the matchup of the Bengals and the Rams. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Bertrand and the guy who has to put up with both of them. Party.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand.
How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You mentioned seeing Barry Sanders, Hardy. Big Jim Murray saw Barry Sanders yesterday.
I know.
And he was taking a nap. That is Radio Row summed up right there. It's so casual, and there are so many famous people around that arguably best running back I've ever seen in my life. Barry Sanders can be hanging out, taking a nap in the green room.
On a community couch, yep. Just lay down and take
a nap. And no one will
nap.
Bother him.
I'll never forget that night.
I would have bothered him. I would have snuggled up next to him.
You didn't bother him 2 years ago when you saw him.
I would have spooned him.
I remember when he broke Harlan Barnett's ankles right in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
About the 42-yard line.
Yeah, that was like the famous, like he turned
spun
right,
him
turned
around
left.
Yeah. Twice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
Hey, real
those
quick.
Are the classic Patriots jerseys that they wore for like 3 years. And Harlan Barnett was 42, I think, yep. Right? Yeah.
I can't believe we've waited here until the middle of the show on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Jim, you're on. And that was Barry Sanders in a green room. Do you have water available to you there? Is there snacks this year at the Super Bowl?
Are you asking
I'm
Jim?
Asking
he's
Louth.
Asking Jim Louth.
Louth is on a very important phone call right now.
Oh.
Yeah, with very
him?
Important. It looks official. Like he's got a serious look on his face.
Oh,
there you go. Now the phone call's ended.
Nope, I just put it on hold. My dog is sick at home. So
oh, you sound like, sick.
Yeah.
Jim,
that is
you an sound
phone
over.
Call.
That
is
me?
A,
no,
yeah.
I'm fine.
We're actually looking for a good place to board our dog for February vacation if anybody has suggestions.
Yeah. Tailblazers University. It's on Route 1 in Foxborough.
I don't think Bert wants to go all the way to Foxborough.
But you sleep.
Well,
with
we
the
might
dogs.
Be able to though because we're going skiing, so we could like work that into our trip.
You don't kennel them; you sleep in the whole place. They let dogs have free roam in the place.
Oh wow!
The
okay, guys
sleeps in the hammock.
Tailblazers.
Tailblazers. It's on Route 1.
All right.
Look it up.
Okay.
All right.
What'd you need to know, though?
How's the water and food there?
So I was just trying to derail the segment in any way possible.
No,
there. That's all.
Oh. So our engineer Josh Polonsky went into the green room.
Yep.
Got a whole bunch of waters and had a. You know, a whole handful of stuff.
Yep.
Nice. About 5 minutes later, they sent a email out to the entire media contingent that the media is not allowed in the green room, only in the media workroom.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I need to know. Hopefully Phoenix will be better.
No lunch.
Ooh. Pathetic.
Continental breakfast.
Cheap.
Ooh.
Cheap league. Terrible.
All right. You don't have to go. Hardy and I will go and make the trip. You can stay back in Boston.
Do it from here.
I've already made an executive decision. The show is going.
I'm gone. We're going next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're
Arizona?
In. We're in. Yes. Phoenix.
It's a get to Glendale type of trip.
Yep.
You know? That's what it is.
Just for
the next
one.
Few are actually pretty good. So it's Arizona, Vegas, and New Orleans are the next three.
We're in all three. We're in those three.
I am sneaky worried about that Vegas Super Bowl.
I mean, like they had a Pro Bowl in Vegas and a star player got in trouble.
Right.
A Pro Bowl. Huh? Alvin Kamara.
And I'm not worried about so much about the players that are there. I'm worried about like things going off the rails for everyone else.
For everyone involved?
Yeah. Because you go there for a couple few days, but now you're there for a week of work. And it's different.
NFL players couldn't handle the NBA All-Star game being there because remember that's where the Pac-Man Jones thing happened.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the items that we were going to get to here. And that is the game itself on Sunday night, the Rams and Bengals. What's the biggest storyline of this game to you, Bert, in terms of what's on the line here? And I think there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot on the line for Joe Burrow. I think there's a lot on the line for Zach Taylor. And I think the same is true for the two guys in the same position on the other team. This is a head coach and quarterback type of game in my mind.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stafford has a chance to elevate himself into like potential Hall of Fame consideration.
Oh.
And you look at the numbers over the years, I believe he was the first quarterback to get to 5,000 yards passing in a season. You know, he went to the playoffs a couple times with Detroit. They haven't been very good outside of the time that he's been there or the time that he was there. So I think winning a Super Bowl in his first year away, like the same way Brady winning a Super Bowl after leaving New England added context to how responsible he was for what happened in New England.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stafford winning a Super Bowl in his first year away from Detroit adds context to his run as a Lion, right? Like, so I think people start to look at him a different way. If he does come out and play well and make the throws he needs to make down the stretch to win the game. For Sean McVay, I think he becomes the premier coach in the sport if he wins this game. You look at the amount of different players, the two different quarterbacks, the amount of assistants that have been through there over the last few years. It's hard for me to look at it and say, if you had to hire a coach right now, if you were just a franchise that didn't have a coach, and you had to put together a list, I don't know how Sean wouldn't be at the top of that list. And then, you know, on the Bengals side, I've seen teams come out of this game that looked like they had really bright futures start to come undone after. And so, like, you know, you wonder about that. Like, San Francisco, they did get back there, but there was, you know, some bumps afterwards. You know, you look at Atlanta. It looked like Atlanta had it rolling, and things came undone after that. Tough. And so I think for the Bengals, there's this could be the launching point for something really great, or could it be that this is, you know, like the things don't go well for them on Sunday, and maybe we're looking at it a little bit differently. So I think for both teams, there's a lot on the line.
Yeah, I think for McVay to win is going to stamp him as, you know, being validated for all the praise that he's gotten, right?
Yeah.
He said, what did he say? I'm too young to have a coaching tree? And he's got all these, you know, sort of the McVay clones that are around the league, these guys, these sort of
and
young,
successful guys,
new,
too.
Up-and-coming coaches, yeah, that have had some success. And I think for McVay, I think if you lose a second time...
Well, it's also...
It's a huge swing between being a guy who got there twice in a four-year span and he won versus I got there twice and I lost and I failed.
And he was like the little
big
swing. You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about that? McVay's tree already has more playoff appearances than Belichick's tree.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which could be a commentary on the league more so than the coach. Yeah, and I'm not saying that to defend Bill. I'm just saying because I think his tree has been...
No, but look how McVay...
terrible.
Or it's close. That way it's five for Bill because O'Brien... It's fine. It's close, though. It's really, really close.
Right. Look at McVay, though, how he treated Bill like he was a little puppy, you know, 4 years ago. Where, oh, right. Coach, yeah, man, it's so cool how you guys switch things up, man. I'm such a big fan. It's like, you know, and that maybe he learned from that and he carries himself different Sunday. And maybe it affects him differently. But, like, it showed the respect for Bill.
Yeah, I think.
Like, and that plays into him. I'm too young to because, you know, Bill's done it for 43 years, you know.
I think if Sean was being honest about it, like, he would tell you he was a little wound up and they maybe overprepared for that game. And like, I think that showed on Super Bowl Sunday. I think they're taking a different approach this time around. And I do think,
let me tweak this real quick there. Like mentioning that, like he had too much on his plate as far as being overprepared, a little too wound up because he had to sort of hold Jared Goff's hand, the Stafford right. being there and Stafford where he's at in his career. Help him just call the plays and sit back and not, I got to keep talking to him until there's 15 seconds left in the play clock. Jared, get up there and look for this guy, you know?
So, and not only that, but, like, he was also helping to run the defense. Like, he was a big part of putting together that defensive game plan with Wade Phillips that I thought was really good. You know, now Brady winds up winning the game at the end, but I think on balance they played really well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question, like, this really puts Sean in an echelon where it's like, all right, this guy's probably going to the Hall of Fame someday. Ooh. And like
put
you look
that on
at
him now. I mean, come on.
Well, no, but you think about it. Like,
oh,
if you've been to,
yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, he's on that track. I mean, just consider this, okay? You think about all the things.
Well, it's on track for him to become the best coach in the league.
All right,
let's settle on that, right?
Consider this: that franchise was dead. That franchise was dead before he got there. Four times in 5 years in the playoffs, winning seasons all 5 years. I don't think they had a winning season since like 2000 and I think it was six when he got there, right? Five straight winning seasons. Two times in the Super Bowl with two different quarterbacks. They've had a revolving door of assistants because so many of his guys have been getting jobs. They brought in guys from the outside. And
see,
oh, by the way,
I don't put
the
about,
other piece of it.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
The other piece of it is how many guys have they brought in there that were thought to be malcontents or thought to be problem children? And he straightened him out. Odell Beckham hasn't been a problem. Von Miller was obviously a captain in Denver, so he doesn't count. But, like, you look at some of the – I mean, Jalen Ramsey, right? Jalen Ramsey was an issue in Jacksonville. Hasn't been a problem at all. He's a captain in L.A. So that's the other part of it. It's consistent winning. It's being able to develop and replace assistants. Yep. And then it's being able to cast a wide net from a personnel standpoint where you're able to take chances on guys other people can't because people want to come play for you and you're able to assimilate people together. I think it's hard not to look at Sean McVay and say, that guy's a total head coach. From scheme to like program building to culture, all that stuff, like he has everything.
Okay, I don't disagree with what you're saying about Sean McVay. I think he's great. And I think if he wins, there's going to be a real argument over who's the best coach currently in the National Football League. And it's going to be hard to argue against Sean McVay for all the reasons you just gave. And I'm not saying who's had the best career. That would obviously be Bill Belichick.
Bill,
no one
right.
will debate that. Who's going to go down as greatest of all time, still going to be Bill. But in terms of here and now, this current season, next season, who's doing the best at their job? I think Sean McVay is going to lead that list if he wins. But this thing about his quarterbacks, how he's gone with two different quarterbacks, I don't give him all this credit for that, because I give him the credit for getting there with Goff. I think Goff stinks, and I think that is a credit to Sean McVay. Then his team went out and sold out their draft board for the next 2 years in the first round and coughed up two first-round picks to get a bona fide star quarterback in the league. Like, all right, let's slow down on the he did it with two different quarterbacks. It's not like he did it with two stiffs. He did it with one stiff, and that does count for something. Right. The guy he's getting now is good.
He went to the playoffs with Kirk Cousins in Washington as the offensive coordinator.
That's true.
Kirk Cousins doesn't suck. He's not great, but
doesn't suck. But I mean, I think it's proof. No, but yeah. it's proof that he can win with different levels of quarterbacks.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins is better than Jared Goff. I mean,
I would say he's in between the two, right? Like, yeah. He's in between Stafford,
without
and
a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think it shows like that you can win with different quarterbacks, which is, I mean, how often have we praised Bill? Forget going 11-5 the year Brady got
hurt. But my thing is, if you can't win with a good quarterback, you're terrible in this league.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I look at in all those terrible head coaches in Detroit they've had over the years. Outside, I think Jim Caldwell got fired too soon. Would have liked to have seen where that went. But, I mean, if you can't win with a good quarterback in the NFL in this day and age, you're probably not great at your job.
Right.
And so that's why. It's just the same point. I'm repeating myself. You get credit for winning with Goff. That guy stinks.
Yeah, but like on the flip side, too, and like I've heard a couple things from Burrow this week, and to watch him carry himself at the rally and talk about the city of Cincinnati and, you know, how they've been in the dumps. And this kid feels like he's a seventh-year player.
Yep.
Like, he gets it. He gets everything. Kid's calm, cool, collected. I can't wait to watch him play on Sunday.
He's Brady. I mean, like, I think from a mindset standpoint, stylistically, and I know I sound like a broken record because I've been saying this to
you guys for
3 months.
Yep.
But, like, I think he's stylistically the closest thing to Brady to come into the league since Brady was a young player. And I just think the way he plays, the calm about him, like his, like the way he leads, the way people gravitate towards him, it just reminds me so much of what Brady was like in his 20s. And the biggest thing, guys, is like, I think what makes Brady so good at the best moment, in the biggest moments, is when everybody's going up and down, it's just like, Brady's always been flatline, right? Yeah. And that steadies everybody around you. And because you're able to maintain the level that you're at in the second or third quarter when it really matters at the end of the fourth quarter, now all of a sudden everybody else is playing that way. Burrow has that. Like, Burrow, like, think about this. 9 sacks against the Titans, right? We all watched that game. He got the crap kicked out of him. Like, that was as bad a beating as I think I've seen a quarterback take all year. What would that do to most young quarterbacks? So you can speak to this. Like, a young
quarterback. I talked about this yesterday with Beadle. He kept hanging in there.
Takes that type of beating. You know what's going to happen with most young quarterbacks? Happy feet. They get sped up. They throw the ball to the other team.
Panic.
None of that happened with him.
Yeah.
He got beat up early in the Kansas City game. Fell behind 21-3 at Arrowhead.
I fell asleep.
I mean,
thought they were dead.
Like it's just, I think there's like, there's the it factor, and I know that sounds cheesy and everything else, but there's that it factor that we always knew Brady had, that you're never out of it. And Burrow has 100% proven that. Think about this. He's coming off the ACL this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's still, like, and he got...
That's
like,
a good point.
If you want to compare it to Brady, Brady's ACL was in September, right, of 2008, and he comes back in 2009. Burrow's ACL was, like, around Thanksgiving of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I mean, it's just, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I think Josh Allen's more talented. Patrick Mahomes is more talented. Justin Herbert's more talented. I might take Burrow over all of them for the next 10 years. Like, I think there's something about him that's
I'd take Burrow over Herbert. I would. We did this exercise, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Mahomes and Allen's a little tougher. Mahomes has obviously been to 4 straight championship games, and so that's a little bit more difficult because I do think, like, Mahomes is set up to be the best player in the sport for the next 10 years. But I don't think Burrow is that far off.
We'll continue the conversation with Bert next. I want to know which team he thinks improved the most with their coaching hire this offseason. We'll do that and get back to your calls on Zola.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak.
This is a Homer show. We are overwhelmingly positive. Bunch of honks.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Very, very positive sports show.
98.5.
Guilty as charged.
The Sports Hub.
Bert Breer with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Bert, of the coaching hirings that were made this offseason, this coaching cycle, as we like to say, which team improved the most by way of their new coach?
I actually really like the Raiders hiring Josh McDaniels. And the reason why is because I think they've given him what he was seeking all along. And now we find out. Okay, so I think part of the issue with him, with some of the other teams, was, and it wasn't so much Josh. Josh never went in there and demanded, like, hey, you need to set it up this way or else I'm not coming. It was more like Josh would go in there and he would lay out his vision. He said, if you want to buy in, great. If not, it's fine. I'm not offended. You know, like, just, yeah, like I just want to tell you, I want to explain to you the way that I want it to be. And if it's going to be that way, fine. I'm definitely interested in your job. If it's not, then I won't be. He's getting that in Vegas. Dave Ziegler's coming with him. Champ Kelly's going to be the assistant GM. He was also in Denver with McDaniels. Josh getting to build his staff. Pat Graham, of course, his defensive coordinator, has background in New England, having worked with Josh before. And so I think what you're seeing there is the place lining up for Josh in a way that the place is lining up for Josh in a way I think he would have envisioned it all along. And I don't know if you've gotten this, having talked to coaches over the years. I haven't talked to anybody who's worked with Josh that doesn't think he's brilliant and doesn't think under the right circumstances he's going to be a really good head coach the second time around.
Yeah, and I don't understand why he gets crushed so much. You know, and yeah. Yeah, I know. Is it optically bad the way it went down in Indy? Yeah, a little bit, sure. But if you really, truly don't feel it's right, and I think the best thing Josh has been comfortable with is, I'm in a good place, I'm young. Like the same thing we talked about with Mayo. Mayo knows he's going to be a head coach, but it's got to be the right situation. Like, your comfort level where you're at, I think Josh was there. And is it about money, too? Yeah, sure it is. But he went to Denver, made money, and he's a high-paid coordinator here. So now, hey, the Raiders situation looked great, and he bounced. Plus, I think it's also an indicator that Bill's not close to the end.
Yeah, I think for Josh, like, the other interesting thing is, and I remember saying this to you guys, like, I felt like all along Josh was never going to let it become a circus, right? Like, he wasn't going to put himself through that. He wasn't going to put his family through that. And I felt like all along, like, Josh wasn't going to go interview somewhere if he wasn't probably going to take the job. So the minute he got on that plane to Vegas, I think he was gone. And that's why it took so long for the interview request to go in. That's why it took so long for him to make the decision to go out there, because he had really vetted that situation and made sure that he could make it right. They'd already interviewed Dave Ziegler and Champ Kelly before he even went in there. And so there was, I think, the Raiders were smart in that they put the structure up first and said, so now we're comfortable with all of your people.
Yeah.
So if you come interview here, you're walking into something that you're very comfortable with and that's going to be built for you to succeed. And I mean, give Mark Davis credit. You know what I mean? Like, because he set that up that way and he was willing to do it that way. And as for whether or not Bill's gone, I don't know that Josh wanted to replace Bill anyway. There's going to be something about being here and being the next guy here. And I think the people who've been here know it, where it's like, if you go 10-7 your first year, is that a failure? You know? And if you really have a vision for how you want to build something and you've like spent your whole career building that vision and you know you're only going to have one more shot to do it, is the best situation for you to walk into a place like New England where Bill has been for over 20 years now, has won 6 championships, and where the standard is so impossibly high that if there are some growing pains in setting up the program the way you want it to, people are almost immediately going to be calling for your job. Like, if he wins 10 games next year in Vegas, that's a big success, right? Like,
huge. For sure.
He, yeah. Like he'll have done really well. Well, if he wins 11 or 12 games, they'll throw a parade for him. Like, here it wouldn't be like that. And so I don't think that Josh – I know people thought he was sitting around waiting for the job. I don't think that was ever the case. And I don't mean I'm with you, Zoe, in that I don't think Bill's going anywhere for a while, but I don't think that's why Josh left. I think Josh left because he found the right sort of situation.
Okay.
All right, 617-779-0985. We will give away a pair of tickets to The Who next and also get to your calls as we wrap things up with Burt Breer. He's joining us from Radio Row in L.A.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Opinionated.
You like donuts?
Nope.
And passionate.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb on the branch.
Okay? Brightest bulb on the branch?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man. Behind blue eyes.
Felger does. He got blown off by Mike Silver at Radio Row. You get to the bottom of that yet, Bert?
What, the Silver thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Silver on the record.
On the record? He said share it on the record. What did he say?
No, he didn't say he was on the record. He just said, I just said no. Thoughts and prayers to him, to Felger. And then he said, it wasn't personal.
It is. It's always personal.
Sure.
It wasn't personal. There was another Boston radio personality that he had once had beef with, but that person never worked at the Sports Hub. So, he was fine with Felger. He just said, he said that it was a simple no. And I guess, according to Jim, it was pretty cordial too, right? You were the one who said it was cordial?
Yeah, it was pleasant. He just said no.
So there you go.
I don't feel like
I wish that. I could stir it up a little bit more. But it seems bad. Like, yeah.
Well, right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see The Who. It's The Who Hits Back Tour.
I hit you back.
2022, coming to TD Garden May 18th. The on sale for these tickets is happening Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. But if you're caller 10 right now, you will get a pair of tickets from Zolak and Bertrand. So do that now. Yep. 617-931-0985. That is the contest line. Call the correct number to give yourself a chance to win. Do it right now. No one has heard from Michael Felger as of yet.
This is awesome.
On his show.
Oh, is there a potential situation brewing?
I don't know. I think he's probably doing it on purpose and he's being a drama queen. But
you know about Super Tuesday, right?
I know about Super Tuesday. How long? But didn't he pull? I woke up this morning. I saw Murray had some tweets. What, he pulled the Irish exit?
It was Maz and Louth that had an Irish goodbye.
Yeah, what happened, Louth?
And okay. That's smart. So because if you want to get out of that thing and not die, that's the best way to do it.
The Irish exit is a veteran move.
Going to the bathroom and then you're gone. Bounce.
I do that.
Uber's waiting for you by the time anybody notices.
Bingo.
Get out.
Yep.
Yeah. And so they got out of it alive. Jim had to work this morning on this show, which that's why you've heard him.
Jim doesn't sound great.
But we haven't heard from Felger yet, apparently, and it's concerning the other members of his show. They have become concerned with having lost contact with Felger.
Yep. Wow.
No show. No pre-show email.
Murray tweeted 20 minutes ago.
No pre-show email, huh?
No pre-show emails.
Yeah.
Wow.
Murray tweeted 20 minutes ago.
All right.
Oof.
All right.
I'm gonna tune in at like 2 Eastern now.
This is the day that Felger wants to prove to everyone he's a man of the people. He'll show up with a bag of Dairy Queen or Arby's or something and, you know, prove that he does eat carbs once every year. Do all of that.
We theorized that he was playing this up for the drama, for the excitement.
Yes.
The the show email chain for Felger and Maz starts hours and hours before their show and is 20, 30 responses long. Replies to replies to replies. The fact that he is not on a pre-show email leads me to believe that it's not an act.
Wait, so Hardy, it's
I
like,
think it is. I,
does he normally start the email, or he's just not part of the email today?
Oh, no,
he's
he
not
starts
responding
it.
To anything.
He starts, he starts it.
Okay. I don't know if he or Jimmy Stewart starts
I think
it.
Jimmy typically sends out a little something to start it off every
right.
morning.
But
early
it is
in the morning.
So did it did
comprehensive.
That go out?
It is comprehensive.
Oh, yeah. Others have responded to the chain. Maz responded.
Okay, so the chain is underway, but Felger's just not participating.
Correct. And Maz has only responded with, "My head hurts." That has been his only contribution to the chain to this point.
Real quick.
I got to think like Jim Murray put everybody to the...
Murray was awake and then was going to bed, so he's probably sleeping it off as best he can prior to the show.
I tip my cap to Jim Murray for making everybody earn it last night.
I'm not worried about Murray being there.
That's leadership.
I don't know you
That's leadership.
Well, the logistics are an issue, too. Hey, Louth, where's Felger staying? Is he at the hotel with everybody, or is he at his own?
He's at the hotel with the NBC crew.
Okay. Yeah, the Hotel Indigo, I believe.
So that's nearby.
That's further.
Yeah.
No, it's close to the media center.
It's right in that complex where all that stuff
it's
is.
It's not far.
Oh, nice.
So he's nearby.
Hotel
he's
Indigo.
Just
nice.
Maybe not alive. Mm. Let's go to your phones. Bruce is in Maryland. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, guys. First of all, I heard that hater earlier on the show. Just don't listen to any of that crap. You're the best show, not in radio, but in sports, period.
Nationwide. We were honored today.
Yep.
Once again,
number one.
Barrett Sports Media, number one midday show in the country, US of A.
You're better than you think because you're better than even the big TV shows. So just don't listen to that. But listen, I got two quick things to say. First of all, I'm on my way to the game, so I'm driving to the airport right now to fly out to L.A. And I just want you to know that nobody's talking about the Rams and their potential to self-destruct. If you go back and look at that Bucs game where Brady had the nice comeback, yeah, I know they pulled it out, but they had like a couple of fumbles, including Cup. I think they had that.
Hey, it's a great point.
Stafford threw the pick at the 50 last week that the kid just flat out dropped because it was so open.
I mean, that game might have been over if Tart picks that
Tart
ball
Tart catches
off.
That, it's over. Yeah. They were up 10, Bert, when that happened.
Well, they were up seven, but they wouldn't have had to
because they had the penalty right after
Bruce,
that, too.
Bruce is right.
Had the ball.
Those were Falcons-level mistakes.
Yeah.
That was a Falcons-level collapse that they survived.
But I don't think people are looking past that. It seems like a lot of money and a lot of people are picking the Bengals to win it outright. So I don't think people are looking past that. I think people are factoring that in.
Yeah.
They're up 27-3.
I just remember.
It goes back to what I think Bert said last week about not trusting Matthew Stafford. And I'm sorry, Bert. I still hold on to that. I trust Stafford a little bit more just for his time in the league.
Well, the one thing I would say, though, to that point, Hardy, and to what we're talking about and Bruce's call, and thank you, Bruce. Have a good time at the game. That's great. They didn't win a game in the month of November. And I think a lot of people looked at them and said, look it, they're falling apart. And so I do give them a lot of credit for putting it back together and finishing strong down the stretch and getting to where they are in this game. But that possibility exists where they go through bad stretches, bad games, and make a ton of stupid mistakes. Hardy, you don't believe me, do you? You want to double check it.
I'm just double checking that the Patriots won all of their games in November. So what?
Well, a team that's in the Super Bowl, you don't typically see a team that
doesn't
win a game for a month straight. I mean, do you see that a lot?
I don't know if they've really, in the playoffs, run into a team that's
they did have a bye in there.
So those teams
lost three straight, and the bye was in there, too.
There wasn't one great outstanding better than every other team in the league this year.
No, but the narrative on them at the time was they're falling apart. They're not going to be there at the end.
They figured it out, and they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they get – yes. And they get credit for that. I'm giving them credit for that.
Okay.
But I am saying, listen, we agree. I don't know why we're fighting on this. I'm just saying that stretch proves they're susceptible to bad mistakes and bad stretches.
You think they win?
I think they do because I don't know that the Bengals are going to be able to protect their quarterback. And I think Joe Burrow, as great as he has been and has made things happen for that team, Aaron Donald's a bad man.
Should we get a bad man?
I think a lot of this is going to come down to the two pass rushes. I think it's the Bengals control Donald, Miller, and Floyd to any sort of reasonable degree? And then on the other side, like if Hendrickson and Hubbard can get to Stafford, I think that that makes a big difference. Because we saw what that did at the end of the game.
Yeah. You know, like it got to Mahomes in that second half.
Yeah, that's right. He panicked. Mahomes taking a terrible sack as part of all of that. Yeah, you're right. And the thing is, you know what aggravates me when I see Von Miller clean up with the sack now? It's like he is so past his prime. And he is so using the ability of the other guys on that line for him to be the guy who shakes free and comes up with the sack. It just, I don't know what it is. It's got to be
that
from
bothers
his,
you?
I don't know why. No, I don't know why
he was in Garoppolo's lap that whole game,
man.
It
drives me nuts. Like, oh, give me a break. You get, oh, so they're paying so little attention to you that you're doing this now.
He's a pretty good dude, though. Like, I don't think, like, I look at him as
I don't know
like,
why it bothers me.
I mean, he's the kind of guy like I think he's the kind of guy like where you can be happy that he found this at the end of his career because he's been one of the best players in the league for a decade.
Once a Bronco, always a Bronco.
It's your suits he wore and the hats and all that.
He had a bolo tie, didn't he? I think he was. He had a bolo tie. For a while.
He had the multiple the different glasses. Yeah, he wears glasses though.
Did Bert give us?
I mean, I had a moment with Von Miller when he was young where I was playing a golf tournament that he was at, and he had never played golf before. This is like the difference between people like me and you, Beetle, and people like Zoe, who are professional athletes, right? I was at a golf tournament with him. He had never picked up a golf club before.
Ever in his life.
And he looked, and he took a few swings and looked just terrible. And then, like, on his, like, fourth or fifth swing at the driving range,
got it.
He got a hold of one, and that thing must have gone 400 freaking yards. I mean, it was like, it took him, like, five swings to do that.
400. But I'll say
that's exaggeration.
About,
but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry for. No, but I've offended the golf purist, right? Yeah. Like I offended Hardy.
Yeah.
No.
You've offended him. Yes.
You're absolutely right. Zoe, when we played last summer, you know, it's weird. It's his touch around the greens. It is his ability to have a short game, which people who play golf a lot, you know, for myself included, you know, short game is a crime scene. You just get him around there, you know, around the green somewhere close. He'll knock it close.
I'm good at tournament. Yeah. I'm not good playing my own ball.
Do we get an official prediction from Bert yet, or is that type of thing beneath you, Albert?
No, I think it's up on the website already. I think I picked. I don't remember what the exact score is.
I didn't know who you picked. You cover the league as a senior writer for Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, I'm not a gambling expert. I picked the Rams to win by 3, and my prediction was that I think the two teams will score touchdowns on the last three possessions of the game. That it'll be a little bit of a slog for three quarters, and then it'll go Rams touchdown, Bengals touchdown, Rams touchdown at the end of the game.
So it'll be like very specific. I like that.
Well, that's like the Patriots-Carolina game.
Honestly, I'll be honest with you guys. I just didn't have the balls to pick the Bengals when I made that pick because there's a big part of me that thinks the Bengals are going to win the game.
I think they're going to win, Bert.
Man, I hope like hell that's how it plays out with the Bengals finding a way to win.
That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't predict that. That's all. I don't have the balls to do it. Some of you do. Bengals good for you. I don't.
The Bengals are a pretty likable team.
Oh, I love them. I do.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I just
I love
like,
Burrow.
This isn't like the Bengals when they had, like, you know, Pac-Man and Tank Johnson.
Perfect.
This isn't that team. You know what I mean?
Like, perfect.
Perfect, yeah. Like, this is actually a really likable Bengals team. So it'll be fun to watch them on Sunday.
All right, Bert, we got to let you go. Thanks for the time today. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Bert Breer joining us from Radio Row in L.A. Let's get to headlines with Hardy. We'll talk to Bruins defense with Derek Forbert next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.